Dejan Rhythm and Rhyme family, we talking dance this evening. But the National Transformation Initiative and Coursera don't have any dance courses. But I nothing. There is still something there for you. You could try the beginner sign language course with Bonnie Leons. When you get comfortable with sign language, it's kind of like dancing with your hands. Signing is a great skill to have, and learning the basics of sign language with the NTI gets you started. Or you could take the NTI citizenship course. This is one of the most popular courses on the NTI platform. It won't help you with your dancing, Sluggy, but it helps you to become a firm craftsman of our faith and get in step with the rhythm of the nation. Or you could try the NTI Core Skills course and learn the skills and knowledge that help you to move through the world with graceful, confident poise and swag like a real star Bajan. Try one of these short, free, fun, and fundamental courses at training.nti.org.bb. training.nti.org.bb. Because you're never too good to get better.
It's now time for Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, as I say. Good evening to Mr. Sluggy Dan. Good evening, Sluggy. How are you doing, sir?
Manners and respect. Everything. Well, I ain't good, so I'm lay on air. I ain't good, but we here and I alive. So are you ready to go? Training.nti.org.bb. Training.nti.org.bb. Over 1,000 free courses for all Barbadians. No data or Wi-Fi charges. Short courses at your own convenience, at your own ledger. So everybody head on over to training.nti.org.bb. Today we have a special guest. Ollie, what happened?
I'm good, Sluggy man. How you doing?
you got me afraid. You acting crazy.
No, I had to take care of Mr. Griffith.
Good, man. Be good. 434-1790, 434-1790. Today we can get down to business. Today we can get a bit deep. Today we can look at some solutions to saving our sons. Ollie, you can do the introduction, please. Let Barbados know a bit about our guest today.
Certainly. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's guest is none other than Mr. Errol Griffith. And I have quite a lot to say here about Mr. Griffith. Let's jump straight into it. Mr. Griffith learned at 13 that the only person in the world that he can control is himself, and that he cannot control anyone or anything outside of himself. He had no idea how powerful this revelation was, but somehow decided that as a result of him being the only person that he could control, that he would choose to be happy for the rest of his life, no matter who and what he faced. He did not get his study life right while at the Lodge School, as he overfocused on cricket, tennis, table tennis, and seeking to please himself, among other things. He repeated fifth form after gaining only 2 GCE O-levels in his first attempt. He went to the Barbados Community College and spent an additional year as he continued with his out-of-balance choices. He completed UWE in 1986 with a degree in accounting, and at age 23, and soon after began work as an auditor at the then Coopers and Lybrand, now PricewaterhouseCoopers, more because of his attitude and resulting work ethic than the quality of his degree. He joined the Barbados Flight Kitchen, now Goddard Catering, in 1989 and became the youngest financial controller in the Goddard Group of Companies at age 26, with more than half his professional accounting studies still to be completed, again, mainly because of his approach to life. With a vision to be a general manager as quickly as possible and create a happy work culture, he resigned 2 years later at age 27 in 1990 and journeyed to York University in Toronto to complete an MBA at the Sulich School of Business. He has the distinction of being the Sulich, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, sir, the Sulich first ever exchange student to Thailand in 1992 and the first black to attend the Sassin Business Graduate School at the Chulalongkorn University in Bangkok, largely because of decision to live a happy life and to seek to influence others to choose to do the same more than his study grades. He returned to Barbados and took what was to be a temporary job as finance manager in the Fortune 500 company Ecolab at age 29. He got married at 30 and was 6 months later transferred to Jamaica to become Ecolab's youngest general manager in 27 countries around the world. Again, influenced by his approach to life and work. He came face to face with the power of what he had learned at 13 when it took him 11 hours to move from tears and pain in response to a separation in his marriage to peace and happiness as a result of his choosing to focus on accepting all that he could not change, what he could change about himself, how he could best respond to the circumstance, including seeking to influence a change in their marriage.
Nice.
2 weeks later, he made the first ever commitment in his life to Christ at age 32, after 20 years of saying he did not believe in God and immediately knew that he was to preach and teach. He returned to Barbados 6 months later in 1995 to become the youngest ever vice president of the Barbados Tourism Authority, with a succession plan to become president 3 years later at age 35. Again, with his perceived people skills being a significant influence. He filed for divorce 7 months after being back in Barbados, following failed efforts at a reconciliation, and remained struck by the fact that he could still be happy and harbor no bitterness. Two distinct experiences with God between ages 33 and 34 led to Errol marrying Suzanne in 1997 at age 34. And their agreement 6 months later that he should resign from the BTA. This was in order for him to be obedient to God's absolutely clear and miraculously confirmed call for him to preach and teach. Errol Griffith is the President and People Development Specialist of the Power of Choice Incorporated, which includes championing an initiative in schools by the same name, which evolved from Free Mind Institute Incorporated, which he and Suzanne started in 1998. Errol and Suzanne have three daughters, ages 19, 22, and 23. The vision driving Errol's work in Barbados is to contribute to Barbados becoming the number one place in the world to live, work, and visit. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Errol Griffith.
What a unique ride, Mr. Griffith. And welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, you know, on the nation's number one station, VOB 92.9. What an interesting journey that led you to the power of choice. And what a strong statement, three words, but extremely powerful, power of choice.
The power of choice, four words.
Yes. The important too?
Yeah, the important.
Explain.
Because the power of choice was given to me by God on the 28th of December, Wednesday, 2011. Mm-hmm. Just lying down somewhere around 5 o'clock in the morning, just allowing myself to feel what I know is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I just heard these four words come into my mind, my spirit. I immediately knew it was God. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited because I know I didn't come up with these four words. It matched what we had been doing and teaching since 1998. But I knew that the name that we were using very much for the work we were doing then was called the Journey Towards Personal Excellence. And sometimes we would shorten it and just call it Personal Excellence. And I knew it was long, and I kept saying, well, one day God will give me the right name. And when he gave it that morning, I knew it was. So we always focus on the four words that I heard, not just power of choice, but the power of choice.
Nice. Nice. So you're initially, before all this came to you, you did extensive studies. Your path, your vision, and your mindset before all this, when you were dealing with finance or what have you, your background, what was your focus before this? And did you ever have traces in your life or subtle hints where you know that this was what you wanted to do?
It really began at 13.
Nice.
I made a decision that I was going to not study hard at school. I can do the things that I think makes fun. Mm. And so at the end of second form.
I like that. I like that. And this for the youngsters, say that again. You made a decision at school. How old were you?
I was 12 years old.
Good. And what decision was that you made?
That I ain't worrying to study harder than I used to, as I used to before. Uh-huh. I can just do the things that I consider fun.
Fun for you.
Fun for me.
Nice. Things that you enjoy.
Things that I enjoy.
I like that. Go ahead. I love that.
And at the end of second form.
Yes.
I went to mommy during the summer after exams and said, mommy, but hold on a second. You realize something? This is the first time in 5 years that I have not gone through exams with stomach pains and have to go to the doctor to hear the stomach pains being caused by nervousness.
Mm.
And then have to take medication. I used to call myself a nervous person. Mm-hmm. I said, mommy, what changed? And mommy could not answer me. And here's what came to me, Sluggy. I can tell you now that I believe God put it in my spirit. But back then, I didn't believe in God. I was a stubborn 13-year-old, okay? And it said, what came to me was, the only thing that changed this year is your mindset. Before, you used to study hard and over-focus on how you're going to do compared to other people.
Yeah.
And this year, you decide, you know something? Whatever result I get, I deserve. Because I ain't work hard. And I was shocked. The mindset of accept the result, whatever it is, resulted in me not having stomach pains, not having to go to the doctor, not being told that I am nervous and take medication as I had been for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, my mind is that powerful. My mind can actually impact my physical body.
So you stop taking medication?
Stop taking medication. You take medication every year from nervousness and stomach pain.
Yeah.
And you
managed to get over that.
And I got over it. And I said, what else in my life can I change by changing my mindset?
Mm-hmm.
And
you see that? You see that? What else can I change? We want Barbados to hear this. 4341790 as well. We're talking about the power of choice. And I want to hear Barbados, if it's any point in your life where you had to make a serious decision and you were thankful for that decision, or you were to make a decision and you didn't and regret it later. 4341790. So listen, what else can I change by changing my mindset? Like, hear what's going on now. My brethren, Adrian Green and I, we used to have these conversations all the time. And that's the reason why I feel so good partnering with the NTI. You know what I mean? And being an ambassador for the NTI. Because transformation is what I am about. Especially what's happening today, bro. Especially with the violence. And you and I know well. Especially from working with children. The young. We throw them because we far older than them. Good. Mindset. Our mind, how we think, way we think, what we ingest in our mind. What else can I change by changing my mindset? And it's powerful words, brother.
You know, here's how it became real.
Sorry, we got a call, Ollie. Ooh, Mr. Griffith boy, you got calls already? Mm-hmm. The power of choice, 4341790. This is Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. We got Uncle Sluggy and Errol on the inside. We're talking about the power of choice. Good evening. Thanks for calling.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Uncle Sluggy.
Yes, please. Errol Griffith.
Errol Griffith.
Yes.
Yes. I'm not sure how long y'all started, but I just came in when the young man was talking about nervousness and stuff.
Well, yes.
And how he changed.
Good. You was from the beginning then. Yes.
Right. I always talk about the power of choice.
Woo! Let's go.
Because from a little girl, I don't remember how old I was, but I'm sure that I was still in primary school. And there was a situation where in my district, I couldn't understand why, you know, like a woman has X amount of children, but there were different fathers and stuff. And I asked my mama, because I came up in a household with both mother and father, and she explained to me why that would happen. And I said to her at the time, well, I want that happen to me because I want to grow up and get a good job, that even if I have one child and father is not around, I will not get another. I will learn and do what I have to do. And there were other things that I told my mom that I didn't remember in growing up. But what I can say is that everything that I told my mother, according to what she said to me when I was a teenager then, that I told her, I worked towards. Mm-hmm. Without really understanding, I said this as a little girl. It wasn't until I was about 20-something that she reminded me after she saw
that you said those
how I was developing. Now, when I started to work, you know, I was working with a lot of ladies and so on. Mm-hmm. And they were... I'm a naturalist. I do like makeup and all that stuff. So I was working in the office and these girls were working in the production area. But at that time, they used to dress down. There wasn't much money, but I didn't used to wear any makeup and having like several pairs of shoes to a bag and what's not. I used to go with one black bag, one black pair of shoes. So one said to me, but you working in the office and you allowing them others to dress better than you. I said, my clothes don't fit me. He said, yes. And everything don't look good on me. Yes. So while they were saying that to me, I was thinking about galvanizing wood.
Power of choice.
And at age 21, I had my first, it was a one bedroom, size of just a one bedroom.
Amen.
Wooden house.
Praise God still.
And from there, I was developing and developing.
The power of choice.
Yes, the power of choice, because when somebody gives you a little 25 cent, mm-hmm. you put it in a little tart. Mm-hmm. This is what I used to do. Mm-hmm. And if I have to buy something and I had, say, for $1.50 and I had that $1.50 in coin, I wouldn't use that. I would break a $5 because my thing was to get the change to put in my tart. And when I clear that tart, let's say in a 6 month or a year, you wouldn't believe sometimes I had $600 and $700.
Wow.
So I used to make sure that I don't use my coins. Because you're working towards something. Mm-hmm. And once I say this dollar is to do a particular thing, it had to do it. I wouldn't touch it for anything else. I would do without so that I can reach my goal. Mm-hmm. And everybody has this power of choice.
Yes.
Some people have to get help to develop it and understand it.
Yes.
Some people are very purposeful with it. But so I admire the young man. And it could still happen today, but I guess some people need to understand their focus, where they want to go at a particular time, what they want to do at a particular time. And that's the same way I raise my children.
Yes.
They want, if somebody give you a dollar, don't rush to buy this and rush to buy that. Start to save. And I wanted another piece of, let's say, a property. And I worked towards that. I said to myself, I never was influenced by, let's say, other women in terms of wanting this, wanting that. Mm-hmm. Clothes and a pair of shoes to match your bag.
You always exercise your power of choice.
Yes.
That's what you love.
Achieve.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Errol, listen, my lady speaking about her own personal power of choice. So you see again the power of choice. So she clearly there, right, bro? She's highlighting, listen, and this for the youngsters. So that's really glad that NTA and BIM got talent to do this. You know what I mean? Call the youngsters, listen. And VOB's put up the podcast after. That is also a play on BIM got talent. So he glad to be doing things like this. But Errol, this lady here is speaking about her power of choice, right? And personal story, the power of choice. So, and she's saying that the things you were speaking about can still happen today. And it had for calls like this, Ollie, because it shows that we just need to have these conversations. The right persons just need to hear them. We just need to have these conversations more, because some young people might not even care to think about exercising their power of choice.
Uncle Sluggy too.
Yes.
There are people who can influence.
True.
But influence, again, can go either way. So again, you need to understand, because sometimes you set out to do something, you know in your mind that this is what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody here, you talking about where you want to go, how you want to go, and they would start to tell you things that giving you doubt or making you second guess.
Mm.
And that kind of thing. So you still also have to know if the person who is trying to influence you or whatever is really there with you.
Yeah.
Or if the road you're going down, they're jealous. So they will plug in things that will cause you to change your mind. And I was not that kind of person. If I say I'm going down the road here, I mean, I going down the road. I don't let nobody spare me.
But I got to ask you a question, man, before I hand over to Errol. I got to ask you a question, though, that because everything you said, Errol, is a wonderful story. I just need to know, how did you develop that? For those listening, for those that will listen back, for Errol and I who work with young people, you know, especially for Uncle Sluggy, the youth love me. So I need to know, how did you develop that, and where did you get that from?
As I told you when I began,
mm-hmm.
it was when I saw this lady, she had four children also. And they were from the different fathers, right? And I told my mom at the time,
yes,
I wouldn't like to be like that.
Yes. So you because see, learning said, from the experiences of others.
Yeah, I came up in a home with mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, just repeating for people who have not heard the story from the right. beginning.
Yes.
You saw a lady in your community with four children and four different fathers, and you at primary school age, they told your mother that will not be your history.
Yeah. Learning from the mistakes of others. We don't have to go through, like, because you know we have this thing. Some people feel like you got to go through pain and trauma. In order for it to teach you, like, life have to teach you lessons. These pains and trauma is part of life so you can learn. And I don't believe that. Right. A lot of people hate me for it. Trauma is not hard work. Working hard, being focused, Ollie and Errol, being disciplined, being committed. That does not necessarily equate to trauma. Yes, we learn a lot of things through pain. But this lady ain't had to go use like and the lady that happened to, you are not saying that lady's a bad person either?
Sweet.
You're just saying that
I don't want it. I see it in someone else's life. I don't want
all,
it in my life.
Right, that's all you are saying. And
it is the circumstances that will cause that to happen to
her. That is it.
So that is where I always tell young people, look, if you're going down a road and then you get a certain way, the roadblock, go around the other side. If that you find a difficulty there, go the other side. Or return and start the next day again. But keep the focus that this is where you want to go.
I love that.
You will get there.
That analogy.
You will get there.
Yes. I love that.
practically things worked out. Not that I didn't have challenges. No, you always have challenges when you want to pursue your goal.
Yes.
I still had challenges, but the principles remain.
Mm.
And what I find is that we who have been brought up in those 50s and 60s, we were taught certain principles. We were given certain values. We were not given $100 to take school and all of that, but we were taught principles and values. And I find this is what we throw away now. And we are letting the system, society now, we are letting it dictate what we should do rather than hold on to our morals and values. And that is what children are not getting now. Sad to say.
Yes, yes, yes. And when it comes to... Thanks so much for your call, ma'am. Thanks so much for your call. 424-1790. Keep those calls coming. You want to be heard?
Yeah, ma'am, you mind if you don't want to do it on air?
Yes,
she's listening. Would love to have
she gone back. She can see listening.
Name and your number.
Oh, sweet. Send your name and number. You can 434-1790. Call us back. Let us get your name and number off air if you don't mind. Please, or you can WhatsApp the name and number 266-4862. 266-4862. We were talking about the power of choice. Me, Errol, I don't want to go into history with the 50s and 60s. All you know how you feel? Because you feel a lot of things that we did in that time is a result of what happening now. But that's a extremely deep dive. Because I don't blame the generation now for what happening now. And I find that that's a mistake that we make a lot. The generation now, I blame the generation before. You know what I mean? I blame the parents that raised them. I blame the leaders in the community that raised them. I blame the people that were in charge of implementing certain policies and things. I blame those people. You know what I mean? Because you know how it is. Everyone know you could be 8 now. Quick, so blame it. 10 years quick, you're 18. And the world's seeing you much different. You know what I mean? And as us men getting older, we know that 10 years ain't nothing. So an 8-year-old quick so could be a man without even learning anything. That's what Errol spoke about. When you ask yourself that question, what else can you change? By changing your mindset, my brother. That's a powerful question. One, why did you ask yourself that question? And two, on your way through that discovery, bro, what were some of the things you discovered that you think can really help the youth today?
All right. I asked myself that question.
We getting deep today.
I was stunned that I didn't have the stomach pains and the nervousness that I considered normal.
Yes.
And so with that voice in my head telling me that it was because I changed my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, here's what. If the mind is that powerful to impact the physical body, what else in life could I change? And so my three passions in terms of sports were cricket, table tennis, and lawn tennis. And so what happened, Sluggy, is that I decided, I'm not getting the results that I want in these three favorite sports. And if my mind caused the nervousness that impact me in these sports, because I'm always defensive in cricket, defensive in lawn tennis, defensive in table tennis, but yet not being the top player or the best, so I said, you know something? I want to improve my tennis, cricket, and my lawn tennis. And so I decided, let me learn to attack and not be afraid of hitting the ball out in tennis or table tennis or getting out in cricket. So I started attacking, but I then over-attack. But then I then learned when not to attack and when to defend and then when to attack. And so what happened is that within a real short time, I became permanent on the lodge school table tennis team. I became a greater contributor on the cricket team. And I almost made the lawn tennis team. But everybody saw transformation in my three favorite sports, not knowing that all come from transformation of my thinking. And so that was what then led me to what else I can change in my mind. And so I said, wow, what I want for my life? I want to be happy. And the other thing I told myself, I want to be rich. And so from then, I started practicing. No matter who or what, no matter what circumstance I face, I am going to use my mind, accept who and whatever I can control, and choose to be happy on the inside of who I can control, which is me. And that's where the journey all began, Sluggy. And so anytime that I was anything other than happy, if I was nervous, if I was afraid, if I got angry, I immediately learned from 13 to take responsibility for my feelings on the inside and not blame anybody else. And so the more and more I practice that, the more and more people tell me, oh, you can't be happy all the time. And the more and more I decide, no, you're wrong. Happiness is a choice. And as I learn to practice being happier and happier and happier, always want to be happier, and always trying to encourage people to realize that it is a choice. And then began to get certain results. And some of those results were in terms of professionally that were read in the introduction earlier. But really and truly, what was driving me was, how can I get higher and higher on this happiness and not depend on anybody? So, you know, here's the funny thing. It was the thought that nobody should ever have power over me, or I should never make myself dependent on something external to me. So although I chose from 12 years old, when my parents would let me play cricket on a Sunday and told me that Sunday school was going compulsory to 18 and church to 21 once I lived under their roof. And I decided, well, you can make me go to church, but you can't make me believe. And so from 12 years old, I refused to believe in God. And so why I threw that in just now is that although I didn't believe in God, I was really trying to practice some principles that really have a biblical foundation. Who and whatever I can control, accept. And the principles are not even just unique to the Bible. You know, I actually, Sluggy, I try to remember the point I was making when I went back just now. I was coming to the point, forgive me, listeners, just running it back in my mind.
You're good.
That always wanting to be happier and happier, and then wanting to help as many people or influence as many people to realize that happiness is a choice. Oh, and here's the point now I was making, it just came back to me. I never, ever smoke a cigarette in my life. I never ever took any drug. I have never ever been drunk in my life. I have never, and I say it in inverted commas, allowed a female to influence me beyond the line that I said, this is the line that I drawn in the sand. And all of it, not because I was Christian or goody-goody, it was all because I never wanted to allow myself to be dependent on a foreign substance or on somebody else. And that is one area that I found helped me tremendously in those early years. And you made a point just now, Sluggy, about we don't have to go through tragedy to learn.
We don't.
But however, when I lost my former marriage on the 30th of April, 1995. And then was in pain that I had never experienced. At that point, 32 years old, I'd been practicing this thing that I can be happy no matter what. Haven't experienced any real trauma or pain in life. Feel a pain in my heart and my belly that was completely foreign to me at age 32.
In 95?
In 1995.
That timeline sound like a timeline here, you mentioned already. That's when you came back to Barbados or something?
That's before I came back to Barbados.
Oh, yeah, right.
That was 6 months before I came back.
Right.
So here am I, on top of my professional career, I am the youngest general manager in 27 countries in this $2 billion company called Ecolab. I'm the one of only two blacks. I'm supposed to be moving to Africa and be a general manager in Africa. And boom, marriage done.
Yeah.
And the pain that for going through details that I'd never felt before. The next morning, the 1st of May 1995, a voice in my head I now still believe it's God and the Holy Spirit, but that then I didn't believe in God either, said to me, you always said that no matter what you face, who or whoever you face, you can accept. And what was clear to me on the 1st of May 1995, that all the pain that I was feeling on the inside, I also always tell people, people can hurt my body, but they can't hurt the inside. All the pain I felt on the inside was my fault. It wasn't the fault of my former wife. It wasn't the fault of the broken marriage. It's how I chose to respond to her and whoever I perceived her to be and what I thought she had done or not done. And to go through a process, Sluggy, of changing my mindset and then feel the greatest pain that I'd ever experienced in my life to that point dissolve in 11 hours. That was the day that I wanted to teach the power of choice. It wasn't called the power of choice then, but that's what it's called now.
Essentially, yes.
I wanted to teach that to whoever. Because back then in 95 in Barbados, we had a spate of people that were jumping off the Treasury building. We had a spate of people that were jumping off the central bank in or taking gramoxone in broken relationships.
95.
And back in the mid-90s.
Right, and 95 too is when I had the surgence of the soca music changing too. That's when like these underground culture really creeping to music. That's a powerful year. Actually, 95 is a year that Everett won all three crowns.
It was 95, 94 he won all three
95. 1995, Everett, that's powerful songs like Oban's Voice in My Head.
Voice in My Head. You know what I mean? One in particular.
Yeah, Voice in My Head and look at the year 95.
Yes.
You understand? Yes. Look, yes. So you see energy?
Yes.
Energy is something so serious. Look at the song Avery was sang in 1995, right? Look at what was entering your mind at the time, power of choice. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's what is truly believed that the mindset of the community and the country, by extension, bro, is being important, is being imperative. The nation development, how the people think, because that energy is transferable, Aaron.
You know, you said important, I said necessary.
Yeah, and right, I say, now I say important, I say imperative.
Imperative.
Of vital importance.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Not important, most important.
We cannot transform Barbados. Or we will not experience a transformation in Barbados, positive transformation in Barbados.
Yes, go.
Unless there's a change in mindset.
Yes, go there.
And so, it's just like that lady said.
Yeah, we can expand on it because I love that. I love that. We can expand on that. No, I won't forget that. Training.anti.org.bb because that's what the anti is all about. I have a message here, bro, right? A WhatsApp that I'm going to read. Funny enough, there were two things I vowed. My mother had four children from four different men. I heard her say one day that if she knew better, she would never have had so many of us. I determined I would never get children unless I was married. Even though I am in my 60s, I have only had sex with one woman in my life. I vowed not to have sex unless I was married. Today I have two children from my ex-wife. Even though it is now 25 years since I was divorced, I have not touched another woman since. I accomplished these goals merely because I had the power of choice. You see how everybody making this personal that way, love? How they use, thanks Ollie, thank you very, very much. How they use their power of choice. But we going back there. Thanks for that WhatsApp message, people. 4341-790. 4341-790. Uncle Slugging, everyone to hear personal stories in your life. How you use the power of choice and impacted your entire life and the way your life turned out. Before we pause there, Errol, you were speaking about, you were saying we will not
We will not experience the transformation in Barbados.
Yes, go there. Expound on that.
Unless
I love that.
There is a transformation in the thinking. And even not being rude to your sponsors, but the what your sponsors are seeking to do in Barbados is wonderful. But if it isn't accompanied with a mindset, we will educate people. But yet they will have the wrong mindsets, and we will still not get the result.
You don't have to say no disrespect to my sponsors, because what you are saying is what my sponsors preach. You understand? Obviously, we are more articulate than I, but they know that in order for them in order for Barbados to achieve transformation, the things that you are saying must be done, like the mindset, the way we think. You know what I mean? Like, that is extremely powerful, Edward, so you are not wrong or being rude at all. You are spot on, so continue. So, because we need to hear these honest things. You get me? We need to hear them, so continue. Don't apologize.
Well, let's go through the power choices and just the four words.
Yes, let's go.
There are 10 messages.
Yes.
So the first message is that I have, you have, we all have the power choice. So if we could get as many, and hopefully all in Barbados, and even beyond Barbados, because this is a message for human beings, Caribbean and otherwise.
We had people all over last week. We had people from Trinidad calling in, and were guests on our shows the week before as well. We had people from BVA that reached out to BIM Got Talent because of what we're doing here at BJ Rhythm and Rhyme on radio. And I ain't just saying these things. All you know, I'm just saying these things. We had them live on VOB from these countries. So you are correct. It ain't just Barbados listening. The power of choice.
I repeat the first message.
I have.
Mm-hmm.
You have.
Uh-huh. We all have the power of choice.
Shh. Go. Okay?
So, if that is true, then therefore it means the message number two, the only person that any one of us can control is ourselves. Because everybody got the power of choice.
Mm-hmm.
So then each of us are responsible for who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So who Sluggy is now is not because of Sluggy's mother, grandmother, aunt, uncle, teacher, pastor, friend, nothing. It is who Sluggy has chosen to be, given all those possible influences, whether good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all responsible for who we are right now. And so message number two, the only person in this world that I can control is me.
Mm-hmm.
If we could get all of Barbados and all of the world be able to not only say this, but believe it and take responsibility. And then what flows into that is message number three. Who is Sluggy? Sluggy, if I say to you there are four components of you of a human being, okay, or even Ollie, what would you say the four major components or dimensions of you are as a human being?
Mm-hmm.
Give me one. What's the first thing you got as a human being?
The first thing I have?
Yeah.
My mind.
So good. So you got a mind. That's one.
Yes.
What else you got?
I have my mind.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Come, Ollie. Let me hear from you. Got mind.
Physical, spiritual.
So body. So all of us got a body. Physical body. That's number four. Mind is number two.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual, number one. Our soul.
Right.
One more, you miss it.
Your heart.
Heart.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. This is trust me, and all you know, there's another discussion when it comes with spirit and soul and all that. You know what I mean? And a lot of the time is attributed to your mind. Like, you know what I mean? Like your mind. But but go with those four things.
So here's why. So
yes.
If number two is that the only person in the world I can control is me.
Is me, correct.
Therefore, who or what is me?
Who or what am I?
So I am, or me is, if for bad English, spirit, mind, heart,
and soul,
and body. Mm-hmm. Spirit and soul, I could use it to interchangeably.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, here's message number three. I am responsible for my every thought, my every word, my every action, and even my every feeling.
Say that again. Let me go there. I like this here. And you truly believe that?
I don't even. This is not arrogance. Uh-huh. I don't believe this. I know this.
Right. Go ahead.
I know this is true.
Let me go there. Say that again for all. Yeah. Let me break it down. Go ahead.
So I am responsible. For my every thought.
These adults.
No. Any
children?
Human being.
Nah, I don't believe that.
Good. Every human being.
Nah.
Good. So you got any children, Ollie?
Yes.
Good. How many children do you have?
My own, I got 2 children. I take care of 7 children.
Good. I got 3 daughters.
Right, I adopt five children.
You adopt 5.
Yeah.
I got 3 daughters.
I got 2, yes.
At what age mm-hmm. could you guarantee mm-hmm. that your child would do whatever you tell it to do or want to do?
What age can I guarantee?
Yeah. What age uh-huh. were your children 100% obedient to you?
Were?
Yeah.
How you mean were?
Were.
Are. My children are young. My children are 14.
Are they 100% obedient to you? Did they only do what you want them to do?
You mean generally or you mean sluggy?
It's specific. I told them sluggy.
Well, my children do whatever I tell them. If I tell my children to go outside and eat mud, they can do it.
They do it.
Yeah.
All the time.
But my kid is different. So were you saying...
No, that's all right. I don't mind.
No, my kid is different. Were you saying it not wrong?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But... And then just my children. Yeah. So that was telling you, it's a serious thing. They don't like talking about it. All you know that, mm-hmm. but... Mm-hmm. And then just my own children. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of children in general that is certain power that, and you could tell, but we were saying it wrong.
All right.
But that way, answer if you truly believe.
So let me work with your children. What I suggest to you, you truly believe
that is think for yourself at all
you
ages.
You have the ability to think for yourself.
At all ages?
From real, real, real young.
Oh, boy. All you believe that? All you count to the mic. There's a serious thing to say.
Okay. Well, you know, Sluggy Man. Life is a paradox in many ways.
Yes.
So I can see the point that Mr. Griffith is making.
Harold is good enough, man.
I understand. Yeah. Thank you, sir. however, I think culture has a lot to do with the programming of an entity.
Culture, laws of the land.
For instance, we're in Barbados. Somebody's born here.
The educational system.
Yeah, you're living in a Christian... island. You're living on a Christian island.
Yes.
So you're going to be taught about the Bible. You're going to sing hymns in school. You're going to have morning prayers.
Christianity-wise,
right?
Yeah.
You're born in Pakistan. You go through a Muslim experience. You're born in India. You go through a Hindu experience.
Right.
So I think that has a lot to do with the conditioning.
For sure.
I agree that we have the ability to make the choice.
At all ages?
Of course.
I don't believe that.
Of course. We have the ability.
Not children.
Well, I'm just saying for me. I believe we have the ability.
A child up until a certain age, right? With a child, right? That child only know what it was taught. Only.
You know, Sluggy. And this is a discussion we have whenever we do this.
Yes.
So this is new.
Of course.
Okay? So I totally understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And even, Ollie, what you said, what we make a distinction from, the culture and the people around you are a powerful influence. But you choose whether you be influenced or not. And that's the choice that we all have of human beings, as hard as it is. I'm not denying it in any way at all.
I understand what you're saying, but I also see Sluggy's point in that.
The culture that we grew up in. Is he not a Christian?
Is
he not a Christian? Huh?
I believe so.
Why do you think he's a Christian? Why do you think all of me embarrassed consider yourself Christian?
Because we're born in Barbados.
We had no choice.
We had no choice. So let me just finish because I got to answer the phone. So basically,
you're
losing my thought.
Yeah, go ahead, answer.
So basically, it's like this, right? If you're born in a Muslim society, the influence that's going to be on you, you're not even going to hear about Christianity, Judaism, anything else until you get to a certain age. So your ability to, let's say, choose a different direction is not going to happen at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I meet children, right? Yeah. I meet children already, right? IRL?
Yeah.
I've met children. I can carry this a step further. 4341790, you already believe they got people out there like this too. I've met persons that... For most of their young life, teenage life, and young adult life, they've never heard or experienced love.
You wanted to talk on that?
You hear what they tell you?
Not yet. You want to go on?
So there's never heard or experienced love. No one have ever told them, listen, I love you here. I'm proud of you. I've met children this week, Ollie. The oldest being 15. No one has ever told him, I love you, bro. I'm proud of you. I love you, son. I'm proud of you. So it can be that children, like you said, their thoughts are totally independent. If you never heard that, this ain't Barbados, you know, this ain't in Guadeloupe. If you never heard that, how can you know that, Errol?
All right, couple of things on.
Yes. And I want you to know we can go do a part two. Because you know, a person like yourself, we can't just talk on the surface level. Someone on the cell phone? Let me take the cell phone call first, Errol. And we can do for part two.
Yeah, man, be
434-1790 VOB Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. Thank you very much. Let's go. You're on the cell phone.
Yes, Mr. Watson. This is Anthony Hope here.
Yes, Mr. Hope.
I said good evening to Mr. Griffin. What I want him to point out, okay,
yes.
Is the parameters of cognition in relation to chronologics, or what we call age. You're dealing with behavior cognitively.
Yes.
And you're dealing with aspects of responsibility in terms of the ability to reproduce mentally as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three aspects to this. You've got the id, the ego, and the libido.
Mm-hmm.
The id deals with idealization, that deals with familiarity of the environment. The idealization, and the libido. The idealization stage comes between the ages of baby 3 to 4 or 5 years old, and from 7 to, say, 14, 15, that is your idealization stage. When you get a 15, 16, you go into your libido, which is known as mature expression. So what he's saying is that cognitively you can respond to the environmental stimulations within the particular environment, vis-a-vis your particular catchment area. But what you are looking at is the ability to have that mature response in terms of analyzing and seeking out the best option for survival.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things cannot combine because you are dealing at different chronologics and there are different behavioral modules at different ages.
Yes.
Between the ages of baby and 4 or 5, you got that ego.
Yeah. Ego?
And then you get 5, 7, 13, you got the idealization stage.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get a preponderance of going over things and looking at them, but you do not make no mature response. And then you get 16, 17, you go over them, but then you begin to make that mature response.
All right, you know, what I want to read is a message that came from a senior teacher yesterday. And the school has said they want to adapt the power choice as part of the culture of the school.
They need to, and listen, all schools, but we can talk off here, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
all
yeah,
schools, man. Yeah. Power of choice,
but,
for sure.
But here is what the senior teacher says, so I read it literally.
Yes, okay? Please. Yes, please.
Our projections of what we would like to see happen throughout the school.
Hello? May I cut this call and get your numbers so that we can converse on this? Because this is very deep.
Yeah.
So yes, I'll take your number off.
Of course, man.
Thank you very much, my brother. Thanks for calling. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Errol.
One, we want to calm some aggressiveness they have towards each other.
Yes.
It's a senior school, a senior teacher in a primary school. Two, they're loud and always shouting. We want to have students taking responsibility for their actions instead of blaming others.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just 3 points that she's identifying within her primary school.
Mm-hmm.
Primary school starts at 4.
Mm-hmm.
Her idea is, if we can get these students to understand that they're responsible for their choices as early as possible, and then be able to try to influence them to make wise choices on a consistent basis, starting from class, from 4 years old, we can play a part in seeking to transform our schools.
Correct.
So I'm not going to get into the technicality of at what age a child has the power to make its choices.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna debate so much, all right? And I'm scientific, I haven't done that study. But the whole idea is that I do believe, I'll say this, that the one thing that every one of us has as a human being from as early as possible is something called free will. That's already all the power choice mean. And so what we're trying to do is to help as many people as possible, from as young as possible, not just young people, like, including adults, realize that they do have this power, right? They do have this free will, and seek to influence them or to be an influence in their lives or how they can use it positively. That's really what we're trying to do. So whether someone can grab it at 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 or 11 or 12, what we're doing is casting the net as broadly as possible and seeking to see how many people can be influenced. So the one that we went off on a debate about is number 3.
Yes.
I am responsible for my every thought, my every word, my every action, and even my every feeling. And you know what happened just now, Sluggy, is what happens so often. The two parts of this is that are most difficult for many people to really and truly accept as truth is that they're responsible for their thoughts and responsible for their feelings. And what we suggest is that our thoughts, our chosen thoughts, are what are the root of what we say. They're the root of what we do. And believe it or not, they're the root of what we end up feeling. Our feelings are not only because of some external circumstance or individual. Our feelings are largely as a result of how we choose to think in the face of other individuals and other circumstances.
Go over that again. I love that. Go over that again.
All right.
Sorry, Barbara. Sorry. Keep your noise. Go over that again, my brother.
All right. So what we are suggesting.
Yes.
Is that, first of all, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Transformation is about renewal of the mind. Okay?
Transformation now, is about
renewal of the mind.
That we're talking about.
All right, good. What's in our mind comes out in our words.
Yes.
What's in our mind comes out in our actions. Mm. And the part that a lot of people really struggle with accepting is that what comes out in our heart, our feelings, are not so much about the circumstances and the situations and the other people. It's about how we choose to think in the face of he, she, and it.
Nice. Training.nti.org.bb. Training.nti.org.bb. 434-1790. You have the good brother, Mr. Errol Griffith, and we are talking about the power of choice today. We might even cut early. You know, have a thousand things, but he's going to come back again for. He's going to come out again for part 2 for sure. Alicia, you want to say something?
Just 2 quick things, Mr. Griffith.
No, I ain't wrapping this a quick. Mm-hmm. So don't rush. You good? Go ahead.
2 quick things. So basically, what you're saying is, how can somebody hurt your feelings when they're your feelings?
And they're on the inside.
And they're for you to control them.
And they're for you to control
them. Understood. Because basically for me, you're touching on a very, it's an ancient teaching. Mm-hmm. I would find it in Kemet, which we call Egypt in our European speaking. Mm-hmm. And it basically goes back to that everything is really energy. So your thoughts are energy, what you say is energy, and what you do is energy. And they have effects. They have effects on yourself and everything else around you. So you choose and you decide what you say, what you think, and what you do. You decide your energy that you create within yourself, which can make you sick or well, and that energy that you're creating goes off everywhere and comes back to you.
The only thing, I mean, energy may not be the word that I use, but I still want to highlight this, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
What you choose to think then greatly influences, if not dictate, what you say, what you do, and what you feel. And remember, you go back to spirit, mind, heart, body. So people can only damage our external. Mm-hmm. People cannot damage our insides, our minds, hearts, our body. They can try to, but we control, we determine the level of impact that we allow people to have on our inside.
Nice, I love that.
And circumstances.
I want to borrow us about this, and after this, or you can give them a brief a bit about the NTI after this. But we want to tell Barris about this. I was invited by the Small Business Association to a youth symposium. Doing a lecture. I'll be doing a lecture next week, Wednesday, I believe. along with the NTI, September 21st. Start at 9:30 a.m. at the Lloyd Erskine Stanley First Center is Youth Symposium, Exploring the Digital Frontier. Join us as we discuss the future of business in the new digital environment at the Lloyd Erskine Stanley First Center, to Mile Hill, St. Michael. You can register at www.tiny.cc/youth22. Or you can look for the Small Business Association on all platforms. Small Business Association of Barbados.
SBA
on all social media platforms. We want to thank them publicly. Let's talk about do this publicly. Thank them so much for inviting myself to do a lecture on the whole digital frontier. And we're looking at the impact of the digital era, especially on our youth. And that we might lecture be on. And I invited the NTI to come along with me as well. Because I think we need to study deeply the impact this digital era really have on our youth, especially going forward. There's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad, but we gotta be careful of how we use it. And get Ollie tell us
how we choose to use it.
correct.
Go ahead.
How we choose to use it. We want you all to visit training.nti.org.bb. training.nti.org.bb. Youth Symposium. Look for SBA Barbados on all social media platforms. And September 21st at 9:30 a.m. Lloyd Erskine Sandy Ford Center. We're doing a lecture on the impact of the whole digital era on our youth. So come on now, visit the SBA training, and I'll be there with the NTI for sure. training.nti.org.bb. No Wi-Fi or data charges. Short courses at your own convenience. So there's really no excuse. Let's get it cracking. Ollie, you can give us a few words from our lovely people at the NTI.
This course is called Mindfulness and Well-Being, Living with Balance and Ease. This course will not only cover some of the fundamentals of mindfulness, but will focus on connecting you to the innate resources and abilities that will allow for a more effective response to life's challenges, build resiliency, and invite peace and ease into everyday life. Featured components of the course include experiential exercises, guided meditations, personal reflection, and interactive discussions. It's beginner level, offered by Rice University, and approximately 20 hours to complete.
Nice. training.nti.org.bb. 20 hours to complete. You can literally spend 20 minutes a day, half hour a day, on your phone, while you're at home, while you're in the bathroom, while you're on the toilet, while you're in front of the TV, watching TV. You know, you can literally do it anywhere. training.nti.org.bb. And I want to shout out everyone down by Island Fitness Center that's locked on. Salute to everyone down at Island Fitness Center that's locked on. You know, energy for life. Big ups to you all. Thank you so much. Check out Island Fitness Center on all social media platforms and wonderful rates. And if you mention Uncle Sluggy, just tell them Uncle Sluggy send you and get some special discounts. It's easy like that. Listen, Mr. Griffith, you spoke about 10 different things, right?
Ten messages.
And we went to three. I don't want us to go through the other seven.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Coming back for you're too old to get kidnapped now. So you just gotta be napping you. You can't be kidnapped. Because steal you again. So everyone who looking at the book, Mr. Griffith, for next week's title, and putting it in the air first. Cause this discussion is so important. And as you know, like you said, certain questions always come up and you always answer them brilliantly, because this isn't just something you're speaking about callously. This is something that you've done extensive research on. I have a question to ask you before mm-hmm. we go, because mm-hmm. we're coming back for part two next week, Saturday, people. Before we go, Ollie, this man studied in Bangkok. I hear you mentioned something at the beginning about Bangkok. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned Jamaica. You know, it's too late. I want you to tell me what you learned from those different cultures, Bangkok and Jamaica. How you use seeing those cultures, seeing those people, because being in Jamaica, I'm sure, or visiting Jamaica, I find that if you visit Jamaica now, you could tell yourself, or in 15 years, Barbados is copying some of these things, and you can be seeing some of these behaviors creeping in Barbados. It's happening like that, right? Your experience in Bangkok and Jamaica, what did you learn from those experiences, and what are some of the things you take away that you think would really help?
All right, Bangkok first.
Yes.
I went to Bangkok in 1992 as an exchange student.
Yes.
Okay, so I lived there for just over 2 months, for half a semester.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't just a visitor.
Mm-hmm.
And it allowed me to experience the culture.
Which is a unique experience.
Yes. And as a black man, I was the first black man ever to go to that.
For visiting and living is two different things.
Yeah. Yeah. So even we go to the part of being black, first of all, most people assume that I was a soldier or a U.S. soldier or some sort of athlete. Nobody knew where Barbados was. They knew Jamaica and they knew Cuba, but didn't know Barbados and the Caribbean, at the time. And wherever I went, people would touch my skin and want to see if the black would rub off and if it was for real. And what I learned personally...
That's crazy.
That the power choice that wasn't called that then.
Yes.
But taking responsibility for myself and choosing to be happy helped me to never, ever be offended when people touch my hair, touch my skin, etc. Because I was a novelty as a black person. Mm-hmm. Never experienced a black person before. So on one hand, regarding the culture, my exposure to things Asian were just Chinese back then. So you know, I had an image of Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah? Don't laugh very much, look very serious, etc.
Yeah.
Thailand was like a Caribbean culture in Asia. I was shocked.
Mm.
People laughed a lot. They had a lot of fun, and part of their culture was having fun. And then in addition to that, I fell in love with the food. Again, I was only exposed to Chinese food. Their food was in the same type of portions as Chinese food,
mm-hmm.
but 10 times spicier.
Mm.
And so that became my favorite food, Thai food. I didn't know about Thai food before I went. Come back to personal. I knew that as a black man, that they're going to assume that I would be highly sexual and that they would assume that I was lazy. That's my mindset. For the first time since second form at Lodge School, including community college, including University of West Indies, mm-hmm. including my first year, four semesters at York University,
mm-hmm.
the first time that I was ever prepared for every single class was in Bangkok, because my mindset was that there's no way that I'm going to fit in their minds, to their thinking, or my mm-hmm. assumption of their thinking, that I'll be a lazy black man and not study hard. So I actually studied and prepared myself in Thailand. The other thing was that Thailand is one of the sex capitals of the world. So in that time, you could get a lady to spend a whole week with you for $5. I just use the $5 as a number. But honestly, that's not ridiculous, huh?
No, I get you.
And many times when I was touring and going outside of Bangkok on the buses, etc., a lot of mothers would want to know if I want to marry their daughter, because I was a foreigner in their language. And so the way out of poverty for a lot of them was to attach themselves to a foreigner. And then a lot of the ladies who worked in the bars at night, or even the day, a family would send one of their daughters to work in the bars, and then the money that they make would be sent back to the country to look after the whole family. Those 2 months in Thailand, in Bangkok, was the first time in my adult life that I didn't touch a single woman for 2 whole months, because I did not want to fit into their mm-hmm. what I thought was their mindset, that as a black man,
I will be a womanizer. So here's the funny thing
how it worked for me, Sluggy. And oh, here's the other thing. In 92, AIDS had also just become rampant. And so I told myself, I came to Thailand with nothing, and I'm going back with nothing. So here's the thing now. I remember back then I didn't believe in God. I was so far from being a Christian.
Yes.
So when I became a Christian, and this whole idea about being faithful, okay, it really and truly come back to, if I could be sexless for 2 months in Thailand because of a fear of catching AIDS and big fear of fitting into a mindset that as a black man, I got to be a womanizer.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I have accepted God at 32, I can now live a faithful life and abstain. So those were some of the impacts and learnings from me personally in Thailand.
Powerful.
And then regarding Jamaica.
Yes.
All right. When I got the opportunity in 94, to be Ecolab's youngest general manager in 27 countries in the world at age 30 in the Jamaica subsidiary. Most people in Barbados told me, you're going to Jamaica to work?
Mm-hmm.
Jamaica's this and Jamaica's that, and it's all about the crime and the drugs. And many people can see past that and can see the whole of the opportunity I was having at this age. Mm-hmm. For me, I was going to learn so much from this opportunity. Anyhow, when I came back to Barbados in 95, I said to many, and especially since I was then working in tourism, vice president of the Barbados Tourism Authority, and a lot of the research said that the number one reason why most people come back to Barbados repeatedly is the people. I found myself saying in 94 was...
You said 94, you was 30?
I was 30 in 93.
You were?
Yeah, 93.
You are not that age?
I am 59 years old.
Ain't no, you are?
59
years old. Nice, boy.
Yeah.
You look very good for your age.
Yeah,
you know, man, I don't like to tell man these things, but you know, Sluggy is the realest thing. You look great. No, being real, you look great for your age, my brother, so keep it up.
Thanks, huh? Thanks.
For sure.
Thank
you're welcome.
God. Thank God for the grace.
Have to.
So when I came back now, okay, Slugs?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that one from you. So bring my mic back.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, Jamaica.
I got it. I was telling people in tourism circles, and since I had that platform.
Yes.
We are not who we used to be. If our competitive advantage is who we are as a people, we are not who we were before.
Mm-hmm.
We can lose our competitive advantage.
Listen, right? And there's something we need to talk about. Because for years, people used to be bragging, saying that, I used to be asking, what is that? We used to regard ourselves as saying we're the smartest and all that. And we used to got a lot of things to brag about, you know, and the seeing and sound of things. But I used to be saying, like we working the hardest. We training, we runners the hardest. We training, we footballers the hardest. We making sure that we children in robotics and is the best. Like, we making sure that our scientists is the best scientist in Caribbean. Like, these certain questions they used to be asking, you know, Ollie. You know, because it's saying, like, these is things that's around the world. You know, like, the best economists. We got the best economists. We got the best in the healthcare sector. So we answer these questions. So then, look, you know, like, we used to be bragging about this thing. Then, look, years later, you know, Jamaica know the best runners in the world. Sorry, produce the greatest runners ever. Not just the best in the world, in the history of sports, some of the best sportsmen and enough different things. So when you just say that, being who we used to be, that is a tough pill for Barbadians to swallow, right? But it is so true. But it is amazing that you recognize that then.
You know, I came back here.
So early, you recognize that, bro?
I came back in 95.
Yeah.
I was saying to people that we have been pointing fingers at Jamaica and Trinidad and where they are in crime, etc. And we are totally oblivious and blind because of our lack of humility.
Yeah.
And our pride.
Yeah.
Of seeing that we have sown the seeds.
Yeah.
To be like Jamaica and Trinidad. And that's one of the things I learned. But you know the other thing I learned, Ollie? In Jamaica, what shocked me. In order to make an overseas call, I need to have a 13-digit code and memorize it. So you got to type in the code and then dial the number. And I think it was 13 digits. Why? Because the culture in Jamaica was stealing telephone lines, stealing water, and stealing electricity. And so there were so many safeguards to reduce the risk of you being tapped into and your telephone line and your electricity water being used by someone else. And I just think of the innovation of always trying to beat the system. But the mindset that, you know, that they are world class. They can be world class. So they can produce Bob Marley's and not just be proud of Bob Marley, but produce Bob Marley's over and over and over again.
Listen, man, that is it there. That's why I give up everything in my life just to work with youth. And people saying it was crazy. Because that's what it is, Ollie. You know what I mean? One story can't change a nation. See, we just say created Bob Marley over and over. No, there'll be only one Bob. But if you look at Jamaica, there's so many great. And they talking about the world over. You know what I mean? And that is crazy for a Caribbean country. You know that in Barbados, in the world, there's only one artist that the world considers great from Barbados, and that's Rihanna. One. And we got so many people here that are so phenomenal. So phenomenal. In Jamaica, you could call hundreds of reggae artists. Hundreds. You know what I mean? That, and even if you mention Grammys, you name it, Ollie. You know what I mean? You name it. It's crazy that you saw those things from then, and you just spoke about the constant innovation and innovation through trying to always beat the system and then trying to safeguard yourself. You found that those things help shape Jamaicans' mindset a little different than ours.
And actually, there's another story. I think this is my first shock in Jamaica. Our auditors were what was then called Cooper's Library, PricewaterhouseCoopers, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm meeting with the acting general manager of Ecolab, who I was replacing, and the partner in charge of the audit from Cooper's Library. And we're having lunch. So I'm being introduced to him. And he began to tell that he went to a football game with his fiance, and someone snatched the jewelry of his fiance. My mouth was aghast. He didn't go to the police to report it. He went and find out who was the don for that area and reported it to the don. He said the jewelry ended up being delivered to his office one day. And he said casually, "I would not be surprised if the person who was responsible for snatching her jewelry paid a real tough price." I wouldn't tell what the price was. Why? Because the Don don't like petty theft in their constituency. And guys, I'm 32 years old.
Yeah.
Come from Barbados, that considered to be law-abiding.
Yeah. Law-abiding citizens.
And that was a shock to my system.
Yeah.
A partner in an accounting firm would, as a matter of course, go to a drug don versus a police.
Yeah. No, and because of how the youth perceive the dawn at the time. You know, you see as a powerful person. You got people that will come to you because of the power they perceive you have. And because you know your words can make things happen. So you see, the power of choice, Ollie, we can do part two next week, Ollie. The power of choice. Listen, Mr. Griffith, I must tell you, today was an absolute pleasure. We went through 3. I can't wait next week to go through the other 7. I can't wait for us to further have these conversations because they are certainly needed. Before we end here today, because I'm not saying goodbye, because this is just part one. But before we end, your final word. I want you to explain to Barbados why they need to exercise the power of choice. This is Sluggy Dan. This was Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. I want to thank Barbados for listening. Before we give Errol the final word, I want to thank him for coming here. Ollie, you have been brilliant. It's now over to Errol and over to you. Thank you, Barbados, and I appreciate you.
I want to speak out of my faith this time, my newfound faith that I rejected for so long. The scripture says, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Romans 12:2. And I believe that the principle is not just applicable to the Christian faith. I actually believe it's common to all faiths. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. If anybody that's listening, what can do with greater happiness, fulfillment, and peace in their lives? Don't let greater happiness, greater peace, and greater fulfillment be a function of choice and chance. Understand that you have been given by your Maker, God, as I believe, free will. You've had the free will gift from birth, and God has never taken away the free will. Believe that you really have free will. That's really all the power choice means. You got free will. And understand that if you want, and I use the three again, if you want greater happiness, greater peace, and greater fulfillment in life, let it not be by chance, but let it be because you decide that you want them and you're going to create the mindset that is necessary for you to have greater happiness, greater peace, and greater fulfillment in your life.
Thank you, Mr. Griffith. Thank you, Sluggy. This has been Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, brought to you with the kind compliments of the NTI.
Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme family. We talk in dance this evening, but the National Transformation Initiative and Coursera don't have any dance courses. But I nothing. There is still something there for you. You could try the beginner sign language course with Bonnie Leons. When you get comfortable with sign language, it's kind of like dancing with your hands. Signing is a great skill to have, and learning the basics of sign language with the NTI gets you started. Or you could take the NTI citizenship course. This is one of the most popular courses on the NTI platform. It won't help you with your dancing, Sluggy, but it helps you to become a firm craftsman of our faith and get in step with the rhythm of the nation. Or you could try the NTI Core Skills course and learn the skills and knowledge that help you to move through the world with graceful, confident poise and swag like a real star Bajan. Try one of these short, free, fun and fundamental courses at training.nti.org.bb. training.nti.org.bb. Because you're never too good to get better.